Right, I said we've got a guest. We do. Welcome, Andy, to the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon. Good to be here.
Great to see you. And a great deal in the national media at the moment with everything NHS. Seems to be every day something popping up, particularly for England with this, indeed, and all the pressing needs of change. And we've had a 10-year plan published. So I thought we'd start with that, Andy. What's I know that the three strategic shifts about hospital to community, analogue to digital, sickness to prevention, but what's your reaction to the plan?
Okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah, so the plan, 10-year health plan, came out just over a month ago now, 3rd of July. It's an incredibly ambitious and wide-ranging document. You say it is shaped around those three strategic shifts that the government has talked about since coming into power just over 12 months ago. And it'll mean some huge change in the NHS, but I think all in the right direction. And if we think through those three shifts, I'm really pleased to say that UACW is already acting on all of those three areas and has done since we launched our own new strategy back in 2022. So if we think around the left shift from acute into community, the work we've done alongside community colleagues, social care colleagues in Coventry over the last 2 years to do new one integrated care teams has been fabulous for patients. We're doing some great work around the digital agenda, analog to digital, and so we were the first hospital in this country to do something called data process mining, and it's looking at how we can look at variation and standardise care where possible. And in terms of treatment to prevention, that's all part of the understanding the health of the populations we serve. We appointed a public health consultant to work within the hospital to give a bit of thoughts of what are the health needs of the population in Coventry and Warwickshire, as opposed to just treating people when they get sick. So it is a big, ambitious programme. We now need to think about how we deliver the ambitions laid out in there. And it's over 10 years, but I think we can split it down into what do we need to do in the next 3 years and then the following 7 years.
Yeah, right. A lot going on. You had the community services people, some 500 people joined the organisation a year ago, and that's been quite successful, I understand.
Absolutely. It's been fabulous. Yeah. So yeah, it's literally just every year. It was July the 1st in 2024. We were joined by just over 550 colleagues from Coventry Watchers Partnership Trust. And we are seeing fabulous developments for our patients. The way I describe it is we're seeing better connected care. So when patients move between organisations, historically there's been a lot of duplication, a lot of waste in terms of people's time having to explain their case to people. We've got rid of all of that. And so, for example, on Friday of last week, I spent time with was a fabulous specialist palliative care team in the community and the work they do for people at the end of their life. And we're seeing better connections with the end of life care that goes on within the hospital, how that can be more seamless. So all I can do is praise those 550 plus colleagues for the way they've approached the change that they've had to face, including that in the last 12 months, took a whole new computer system. But again, that's helping them be more efficient, more effective, and see more patients every week.
Is that the employees, the patient system?
Yeah, so they've had a new patient record system called EMIS, which is also shared by GPs in Coventry. So it means you get all the information about one person in one place, and that's great for people's care.
Yeah, and so the benefits that an individual would get is going to a GP, get a connection to somewhere, maybe local, maybe in the community first. Maybe they may say you need to go to the hospital.
So if we go back to, say, our strategy we launched back in 2022, where it's called More Than Hospital, that was challenging ourselves to work with partners in the community, social care, voluntary sector, etc. To think about giving people care as close to home as possible, keeping, you know, people out of hospital if they don't need to be here. And, you know, so people only come into hospital if they absolutely need to. And we're seeing wins all around by wrapping ourselves around patients, having less social care packages, community care packages reduced in length of stay, and we've had a reduced length of stay in hospital. So it's been a fabulous development, and I can only say thank all the people involved.
Brilliant. And a knock-on effect of having more resources available in the hospital because things are reacted faster.
Absolutely. You know, the challenge that faces all hospitals is around flow, and having only the right people turn up into the hospital and then being able to discharge in a timely manner to where people need to be.
Yeah, good. Now, last time we were with it, you talked about a development going on in the city centre for scans. And has that happened? Has that opened?
I know it's not happened, but what I can tell you is that the builders literally started their work a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, good.
There were several challenges around water on the site, which has had to be undertaken and dealt with. But the builders literally moved in 2 weeks ago, so that will open this time next year, and that's going to provide thousands of extra scans to people right in the heart of the city.
Right, so they won't have to come onto this site, and absolutely, that provides capacity here. Brilliant, that's great. And the 10-year plan, the way it'll move forward, I mean, you've said, you know, you do a 3-year plan here, but how does the detail come down? With NHS England being deleted, basically, ultimately, or being all sucked into the Department of Health and Social Care, how would the plan be pushed down to the organisation?
So the delivery sort of plans for the various elements of the 10-year health plan are being developed as we speak.
Right.
So there are a number of working groups that are down at a national level. I'm involved in one of those.
Right.
And so really, as we get into the autumn, we'll start to see delivery plans. I think those delivery plans actually break it down even more than I've just said into sort of like a 1 year, 3 year, 7 year timescales. But so there'll be clear objectives on an annual basis about what we need to achieve to get to the overall 10-year plan.
So it's really going to happen. Yep. It's not just a wish list that some people said.
Will 100% of what's in the plan happen? Of course not. But some things that are not in the plan will also happen. And you know, these things are always iterative, but what it does is it sets out an ambition about where we need to get to.
Just going back on something you said earlier as well about digital mining process. What's that about? What you getting out of it?
In essence, that's using, we're working with actually a German software company called Slowness to analyse all our data to see, for example, where there are variations in care that are unnecessary. There's always going to be some variation in care, to say, through outpatients, because ultimately individuals are all different. But where you can standardise care, you can make it more effective, more efficient, and you can reduce waste, whether that's about what tests you're using for certain patients, certain symptoms, to the pathways they take through the hospital, looking at subspecialties and specialisation, etc.
Okay, so again, another way of improving the flow through the hospital.
Absolutely.
Okay. And this is Feel Good Wednesday with me, Bob Griffiths, and my guest in the studio is Andy Hardy, Chief Executive Officer of the Trust here in Coventry. Andy, waiting times at the hospital have always been a big issue, particularly following COVID and then through the various doctor strike we had. What's the scene now? Where are we at here?
Okay, yeah, thank you. So, as you say, since the pandemic, UHW, like the rest of the NHS, has been facing longer waiting times. I'm pleased to say they are coming down now.
Great.
As we came out of the pandemic, we had people waiting way over 2 years for certain planned elective operations. We now have nobody at UHW waiting over 65 weeks, which is a year and a quarter. Our ambition is to eradicate those down to nobody waiting over a year by the end of this calendar year. That will be challenging, but that's what we're aiming to do. That will take us back to where we were pre-pandemic. And that is really important because we don't want people anybody waiting over a year, but it's obviously been a long, hard struggle to get there. And as you say, over the last 18 months, that has been affected by repeated industrial actions, of which we saw the most recent one only last week.
How big of effect did that have last week?
Well, I'm pleased to say that, as has been reported nationally in the media, what happened to UHW reflected the rest of the NHS, and we saw much less disruption. And so many, many less cases were cancelled as a consequence of that 5-day strike last week.
Yeah, that's good news. And prospects with a nurses strike in the offing, perhaps?
Well, we're waiting actually any time now to hear what the RCN, Royal College of Nursing, went out to a ballot and to see what their response was, whether A, it's been enough people respond to be counted and how many people voted to strike. I think feelings are very strong that if resident doctors were to receive another high pay rise over and above that already offered at 5.6%, which is the highest in the public sector, I think nurses and other unions, both within the health service and the rest of the public sector, could well be led to strike action.
Mm. Okay. Right. Well, let's hope that doesn't upset the start of the 10-year plan deliverables.
Absolutely.
Oh, dear, yeah. Well, going back on something we were talking earlier about data mining and things like that, AI has become a big feature in the hospital, hasn't it, the last few years?
Absolutely. I think artificial intelligence, and in its various forms, will change the way health services are delivered moving forward. I'll say right up front, because that doesn't mean that we take out the human element of AI. AI
sure.
is a tool to help us do things. Mm. It can be a tool to help us understand what data is telling us about the services we already provide, the care that we provide, and how we can change that and standardise that where appropriate. It can help us in non-clinical functions that we do. So, for example, one thing we've developed here internally is an AI chatbot for HR queries, which means that colleagues can interact with an AI chatbot for some basic HR queries, which means then our HR colleagues just focus on the really more complex challenges people may have, and they've got more time to do that. So we're utilising it for both clinical and non-clinical reasons, and as it will change the world in the next few years, it will obviously cause...
Indeed.
So that's true for the health service.
And you've had some big equipment in the last 12 months as well, haven't you, to look at diagnosis and...
Absolutely. We're at the forefront of a lot of the sort of revolution in diagnostics, and AI plays a part in that.
That's brilliant. And what about what have you been doing outside of work this week, Andy?
Okay.
If you have any time outside work.
I try to keep that. I mean, well, it's been a great week. So two passions of mine are sport and theatre. And the last week, of course, I'm a massive rugby fan. So I, of course, was watching the British Lions test on Saturday morning. At the same time, and over the weekend, watching what turned out to be a fabulous fifth and final test match.
Incredible, wasn't it?
And I was lucky to get to one day a few weeks ago back at Edgbaston.
Yeah.
and also, in the last couple of weeks, I've been to the theatre a couple of times. So that's been great. On Saturday evening last week, I went with my mum to see the musical Mary Poppins. And a couple of weeks before that, me and my partner, we went to see a great play in London, Mrs. Warren's Profession, with the fantastic Melinda Staunton. So I try to keep myself busy outside of work so you can switch off from work.
Very good. That's a good thing to do. Keep you healthy.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you might have to come in the hospital.
Yeah.
Oh, terrible.
Absolutely.
Andy, thank you very much for coming in.
My pleasure.
Appreciate your time. And, perhaps talk to you again reasonably soon, 3 months or so.
That'll be my pleasure.
Find out how that plan's going, whether we're developed and whether we're out of the mire of strikes. That'll be good to know. Okay, you take care. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you very much. Coventry Hospital Radio.